Hi, my name is Mark. I'm an audio engineer at Family Talk, and I would like to wish you and yours a happy Thanksgiving.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special Thanksgiving edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And today's topic is very timely as we celebrate this Thanksgiving Day with our friends and family members. I'm excited for this show, Dr. Dobson.
Timely because this being Thanksgiving Day, and we want to provide some background for our listeners on what this national holiday really means and why we celebrate it year after year. And to understand the meaning of this holiday, it's necessary to know about the origins and the history of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
This is becoming increasingly important for our children to understand because it's sad to say they certainly are not going to be told about it in many public schools. Mm-hmm. If Thanksgiving is explained at all, children will learn that the pilgrims came over to this land in the early 1600s, and they went through a very tough and brutal winter. And they didn't have enough food to eat, and the Indians came along, and they were called Indians in those days, not Native Americans. And they befriended the pilgrims and helped them survive in this new land. Now, that part of the story is accurate, and appreciation was undoubtedly expressed to the Indians for befriending them and helping them through that winter, but it's not the whole story.
Well, there's certainly a whole lot more to that story. And that's basically what we celebrate on Thanksgiving Day, right?
Well, that's absolutely true. And let me give just a very brief history lesson before we begin our program today. Because of the harsh conditions that settlers had endured, and kids do know that part of the story, the captain of the Mayflower, Christopher Jones, decided to go back to England on April the 5th, 1621. It was just too difficult, and people were dying, and he offered everybody an opportunity to go home. And yet the beleaguered pilgrims would not go. Not one of them chose to return. Each one felt a call from God to be in this new land where they would have religious freedom. And they said, and I quote, "We'd rather die here and remain true to what the Lord has called us to do than to turn our backs on Him and return to England." That's an historic fact that is in writing. William Bradford, who was the governor of the colony, wrote about some of the hardships that they experienced in that winter when he said, and I quote, "But these things did not dismay them, though they sometimes trouble them, for their desires were set on the ways of God and to enjoy His ordinances. But they rested on His providence and knew whom they had believed." Isn't that neat? 1621. These people loved the Lord and were committed to Him, and they wanted to do what He wanted of them. And I wonder what this country would be like today if they'd have all gotten on the Mayflower and sailed home.
So, Dr. Dobson, despite all the trials and difficulties they'd gone through, the pilgrims had a feast of Thanksgiving, not to praise the Indians, but to praise God for that first harvest that occurred in 1621. There's certainly a whole lot more to that story. That's basically what we celebrate on Thanksgiving Day, and our children ought to understand that. We invited former Congressman Todd Akin, a longtime friend of yours, to join you on the phone, Dr. Dobson. He was elected to Congress in 2000 from the state of Missouri, and he lives there with his wife and their six children. He's very active in the Boy Scouts and is a former member of the Missouri Right to Life. He's also very, very passionate about our nation's history, and especially Thanksgiving. I know our listeners will be in for a treat as we hear from him today. Well, let's get started as you welcome Congressman Todd Akin on Family Talk.
Congressman, thank you for joining us.
Well, Jim, it's just a treat to be able to join you, and it's about my favorite topic is to talk about Thanksgiving and the pilgrims particularly.
You are passionate about our nation's history, aren't you?
Well, I certainly am, and I think there's a good reason for all Americans to be passionate about our history. If you don't think of it as history, if you think about it as a great adventure, and you think about the character of the people that came here and what they established, we have so much to be thankful for.
Well, you heard my introduction there as you were on the phone, and my concern about the way Thanksgiving is explained or not explained in many public schools add to that.
Well, I had a similar experience. I had heard that the schools were starting to teach that the pilgrims gave thanks to the Indians, which is not historically correct. And so I went into a school. I had 140 fourth graders in a room on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving break. And I got them excited and said, "Hey, you going to go on vacation tomorrow?" "Oh, yes." And I said, "And what's a vacation?" "Oh, Thanksgiving." "And who had the first Thanksgiving?" They said, "Oh, the pilgrims did." And I said, "Well, who'd they give thanks to?" And everybody in the room said they gave thanks to the Indians. And I put I had been almost expecting that, so I put on a most shocked expression. I looked at the eight teachers in the back of the room, then I looked at the class, and I said, "Oh, no." And a little girl in the front row, Jim, put her hand up partly and asked as a question, "Did they give thanks to God?" And this is one of those moments that teachers wait for. I pulled a little chocolate bar out of my pocket, tossed it to that little girl, and I said, "You're right, they gave thanks to God." And we did about an hour on Thanksgiving at that point, perhaps to the discomfort of the teachers.
Yeah, I imagine the color drained from their faces.
Well, you know, I don't want in front of me the Governor Bradford's Thanksgiving proclamation from the second Thanksgiving that the pilgrims celebrated. The year was 1623. And, you know, it's pretty hard to read this as that they're giving thanks. It's not that they weren't thankful to the Indians, particularly Tishquanto. They were thankful, but the purpose of Thanksgiving was to celebrate to God. And his specific words, "Render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings," Governor Bradford.
Well, that's a vitally important part of our American heritage, which I'm afraid is being lost or distorted because it's not being taught in most public schools.
The tragedy of the thing is it's not even taught in our Christian colleges many times. And the fact of the matter is that these people really did believe that the Bible is a blueprint. They really believed it guided us in things to do with how to set up a government or economics or things like that. And so you see immediately, right off the bat, these people hadn't been here hardly a month, and you have two major contributions to our thinking in terms of American government. The first is the important idea of separating civil government from church government. That was a very big idea because, remember, all through European history, there was this sort of unholy alliance between the king and the religious authority, and both corrupted each other, and they had all kinds of conflicts. Well, in this country, they started out, at least the pilgrims did, with this idea of that it was a biblical model to separate those two. And it's the whole formula for America, the whole written constitution model, very, very much earlier than most people realize. And we can thank the pilgrims for that as well as for Thanksgiving.
And now that basic idea of separating church and state has gone on to be interpreted as the church having absolutely no influence and no input whatsoever to the moral principles on which the government is based.
Well, you're right, Jim. The Supreme Court, just in this, I guess about the 1947s or so, started trying to find in the First Amendment the idea that instead of separating civil government from church government, they came up with the idea of trying to separate God from everything in civil government and everything public, trying to get rid of God. That was certainly not the intent of our founders. I think particularly to that point, you know, you have George Washington in one of the early national proclamations of Thanksgiving, and this is how it starts. This is George Washington's National Day of Prayer for thanking God for the adoption of the U.S. Constitution. These are his first words. "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God." Now, obviously, he didn't seem to understand what the Supreme Court has tried to read into the First Amendment.
Well, I have in front of me George Washington's Thanksgiving Day proclamation from 1789, calling for that day of gratitude and appreciation to God. And reading it here, we don't have time to read it all, but God is mentioned over and over in several contexts, but it is just amazing given today's political climate, because you can't read this from our greatest and our first president without recognizing this great sense of gratitude to God for all that he did in the formation of this great nation. This is what George Washington said. "Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being," being is capitalized, "who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence." It's formal language, but you can hear his heart. It was not the Indians that he was talking about. As kind as they were, and as much as appreciation had to have been expressed to them, it was to Almighty God that they were thankful. You know, Todd, it would almost be unconstitutional now, according to the Supreme Court, to even teach that history, even though it is undeniably a part of our founding fathers' orientation and the works and deeds that they did.
Well, that's true, and I think that we as Christians have let things slip a little bit. You know, if you went to most churches and you were to say in the church, "Do you believe the Bible should be a blueprint for us for the way we live our lives, for how we run our families, and how we set up the civilization around us?" You know, I think most head would nod up and down and say, yeah, we think the Bible should be our blueprint. But do we really believe that? You know, if you say, "Oh, well, you do, and you've been a Christian for a while, why don't you just tell me in a few sentences, what's the Bible have to say about the subject of education? What's the Bible have to say about economics? Could you show me, as Governor Bradford understood when they pitched socialism out of their little colony, he made reference to the fact that as though men were wiser than God, he understood that socialism was unbiblical. So, you know, I don't think we think of the Bible really as a source of answers to those questions.
You know, Todd, I read just in the last day or two that in a school district in Seattle, the school board sent a letter to the teachers reminding them that Thanksgiving is not a happy time. I mean, you know, those who come from a liberal perspective just can't seem to stand the notion that there is optimism and reason for appreciation and thanksgiving and happiness.
Now,
have you heard
that? Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Thanksgiving that the Pilgrims celebrated, they invited Massasoit, who turned out to be a very good Indian chief and a good friend of the settlers for many years through his life. They invited him to come with a brave or two, and he arrived with a whole bunch of braves. And they had a good enough Thanksgiving for the first meal that they decided they'd stay three more days. And so they had foot races and wrestling and had all sorts of military drills and things, and the Indians would hunt up deer and turkey, and the settlers were cooking up pies and different things like that. And so it was really a three-day celebration. You know, I think if it were a time for gloomy people to sit around and navel gaze, I don't think the Indians would have stuck down there for 3 days.
Well, you and Luli have six children. Address this issue from the point of view of parents. I'm sure you would say, as we would, that it's extremely important for parents who come from our understanding of the Bible and of Jesus Christ, that we teach them this foundation and tell them the history that the schools are not going to teach.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. I think it goes way beyond just the fact that the Pilgrims gave thanks to God. It goes way beyond that. It goes to the point that we should be looking at our Bibles for answers to things. You see, that's what made the Pilgrims' contribution so tremendously significant. They gave us things that were the beginning of a new civilization in a way. And and reading over some of their quotes, that's something the liberals just can't take away. For instance, their quote as Bradford is kind of finishing up his understanding of what they did in Plymouth, and he said, almost wistfully looking ahead, he said that maybe the things that we have done here have, in a sense, lit a candle that will lighten possibly even an entire new nation. You see, they had a sense of vision. They came here not just for religious freedom. They came here to build something new and something special. And they believed that the Bible was like a gold mine, and it had more things to dig out of it. As you understood it, mankind could apply it and could bless civilization more and more. And I think we've lost that sense of optimism and hope. I think that that's something that we can learn from the Pilgrims, in spite of what seemed like terrible, terrible things. First of all, the storms that blew them off course and that gave us the Mayflower Compact, okay? But also the other different trials that they underwent, how those things turned out. For God's purposes in history.
I've shared this before, but we have a little ceremony in our family that's become kind of a tradition. We've done it many, many times. The kids understand it. They look forward to it. But each member of the family around the table after eating the Thanksgiving dinner is given a little cup with two kernels of dried corn in them. And Shirley First tells this Thanksgiving story again. We've all heard it, but it's important to hear it again. And then we begin, usually with me, and you take the two kernels of corn, put it in your hand, and then drop them one at a time back into the cup and explain something that you're grateful for or thankful for that the Lord has given in the previous year. And then it goes on to the next person and goes all the way around. Year after year after year, we are in tears when we get to the end of the ceremony because there are members who have survived illnesses and there is love and appreciation expressed to one another, love for our kids. It's just a very, very meaningful thing. It's a way of celebrating Thanksgiving by being thankful. Thankful to whom? To God, from whom all blessings flow. Congressman, we're almost out of time. Anything else you'd like to say to us?
Well, Jim, just along the lines of what you said, our church started a tradition about, I'm thinking 15 or more years ago, and the beginning of the Thanksgiving service, it's a unique service in our church. We've got 12 pretty sturdy guys, and they have pretty good-sized rocks. And they bring these large pieces of rock up on the platform and put 12 of them together. This was symbolic of the Israelites going across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And it was, these are stones or an Ebenezer of remembrance. And then what happens is there's no sermon or anything, but people are allowed to come forward and say what they're thankful to God for. And then they put on this rock altar, if you will, some little trinket that's a reflection of something that they said they were thankful for.
What are you going to do with your family this year?
Well, we'll go to that same worship service, and then we're going to enjoy a turkey that'll be cooked up and a lot of fellowship. I'm fortunate to have three of my sons that are in military service that will be home, so that makes Mom and Dad pretty happy when the kids are home.
You have to be very proud of them.
Oh, I sure am. Every one of them.
All right. Let's end our program by addressing them because there are many families that are separated by long distances, by war, by the possibility of danger, certainty of danger. And what would you say to those families that are making that incredible sacrifice at a family time?
Well, I think the first thing I would say personally is I would say thank you, you see. And I would also say this isn't something new for us in America. From the beginning of time, from the beginning of us being a nation, there has always been these struggles and conflicts and difficult times for Americans. And just as the Pilgrims had a very, very hard, almost half of them died in the first 4 months. And just as Washington has struggled with a terrible war against the biggest military power in history, it shouldn't be a surprise that we also are being called to stand up for what our forefathers believed. If you think about it, that statement that comes really from the Mayflower Compact, our Declaration of Independence, it's a simple formula. There's a God, he gives basic rights to all people, and it's the job of the government to protect those rights. And what do terrorists believe? They believe you butcher innocent people to make a political statement. We believe that life is a gift of God.
Yeah.
They believe in terrorism to force you to do something you don't want to do. We believe God gives every man liberty so that the man can serve God and can rejoice and obey him with their lives. So it isn't an odd thing that we find ourselves head-to-head with people who disagree on that fundamental plane, that there is a God that gives basic rights to all people. Mm.
Well, that's well said. When Shirley and I had our devotions together last night, we prayed for those families that are separated at this time. We prayed for our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq and in other places, Korea and Germany, other places around the world, including those who are here domestically. And we prayed for our government and for those that are making decisions. And at this Thanksgiving time, I do hope that our listeners will be mindful of those families that are sacrificing to defend our freedoms, and also to be thankful to God for all that he's done. The secular world pulls us into the materialism of Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and renders them almost meaningless if you depend on the culture to emphasize the things that are important. And that's why I wanted to have you on the broadcast, Congressman Aiken, and thank you for what you're trying to do to defend those things. I don't want to turn this into a political statement, but you are a congressman, and I would like you to tell us, just as we bring this to a close, whether you are encouraged or whether you are discouraged with where we are as a nation. This is time to be in prayer about our country and where it's going, isn't it?
It certainly is a very, very important time of prayer. I tend to be fairly optimistic, Jim. I'm trying to think of the right way to answer your question. And maybe, perhaps it was when Hudson Taylor was in China, he had a mission full of little kids and no money to buy rice for them to feed them the next day. And his assistant came to him and said, "Oh, this is a horrible day. We have no money to buy any rice, and there's no food for tomorrow morning." And Hudson Taylor's response was, "No, this is a good day because it means that God is going to have to answer our prayers today." And it was that day that a courier arrived that had traveled through the interior of China and had the money that had come from the mission board so that they had food for the kids next morning. And I guess maybe my sense is that we're in a dark time as a nation right now. But sometimes in history, the very brightest days come after the very darkest.
Mm. Well, blessings to you, Todd. I appreciate you. I appreciate your love for the Lord and for this country. And thanks so much for being with us today to put the spotlight on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to whom? That's the question parents need to ask their kids. We're going to have a day of Thanksgiving. Who are we thankful to and for what? And if they say the Indians, you've got some work to do, right? Thank you, my friend. God's blessings to you, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. The same to you, Jim, your wonderful listeners.
Well, I do hope that all of you listening are not only enjoying your turkey, but I hope that you'll also find time to talk with your kids about the real meaning behind Thanksgiving. If you would like more information about the Ministry of Family Talk or to see other resources that we have about Thanksgiving, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Dr. Meg Meeker saying God bless you, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hey, this is Dr. Meg Meeker calling all you pinners out there. Did you know that Family Talk has a Pinterest page? Well, it's true, and it's full of great resources, parenting tips, marriage advice, and good ideas for holiday crafts, recipes, and things to keep your family busy. Follow our boards and be inspired. We are pinning and repinning new things every day from Pinterest users such as yourself. Connect with us at Pinterest.com/Dr. James Dobson. That's Pinterest.com/Dr. James Dobson.